can celebrate what he did then. And he is that same God. Let's worship together. Let's thank him for what he is doing to here today. And the same God that was is still doing it again here in this place, in Jesus' name.
Worthy of all the glory and all the honor and and all of the praise. It makes me wanna
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I part in me a moment while I have the Jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Be seated if you wish. I think it feels too good to sit, but you can do what you want. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've said before, I think that the second coming of the physical return of Jesus Christ might be the most preposterous thing we believe. Might be. Because we have the Holy Spirit dealing with us now, and we can testify to people about that. But to stand and say that there's going to be a physical second return of Jesus Christ, that's a little harder maybe for some people to grasp. And quite frankly, the older I get and the more I'm thinking, you know, this could happen in my day. It's like, whoa, wow, I need to believe this more and more and more. Just as surely as the Holy Ghost was prophesied and it was poured out, just as surely, our King is coming back. Right, exactly. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord.
There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. When he comes, oh, he is coming in power. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, He is coming. Him come. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, He is coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We thank You, we praise You, God. Hallelujah, Lord, for You are coming again. Hallelujah. And You are here in this place, Lord. We thank You for Your presence in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated just for a moment. It is Bread Sunday. We are already in June, almost the middle. Mason, can I ask you to come help me out? Man, he's looking sharp this morning, all dressed up. Anybody that has kept up with their bread up to June, could you stand at this time? And we are going to get the platform. We will not forget the platform this time. All right, if we could give them a hand. We're going to stand at this time. We're going to ask the ushers to come. To receive this morning's tithes and offerings in Jesus' name. Brother Al, would you pray for the offering? Amen.
Blessed be Your name in a land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name, and I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name with the sun shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name on the road marked with suffering, the pain in the offering. Blessed be Your name. Every blessing You pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your glory. Thank you.
Offering at this time. Let's give him a shout of praise. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every day. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good to be in Sandwich today. Of course, I live in Sandwich now, so, you know, I might as well be in Sandwich. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. The only thing I hate about preaching at Sandwich is I always have to come up with something new. Amen. After 38 years of pastoring here, you know, I just gave you everything I had. So, hallelujah. So now I have to hope every day that what I have is, you know, if I did a bad one, I know I could always come back and repeat myself quickly before. But now if I have a bad one, I might not ever preach again. So, hallelujah. Lord bless Brother and Sister Wells. We know they're in Florida. And we want God to bless them and the work they're doing there and the things that they have to accomplish. Amen. Appreciate him being the pastor of the church. Appreciate the relationship that he and I have together. And, you know, I believe great things want to happen or are going to happen in Sandwich. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Hallelujah. I always feel bad if I preach long. Amen. But not today. Getting an early start, and we don't have church tonight, so I can go on and on and on and on. It would be nice if we could all just go on and on and on. Hallelujah. Never forget, a night was in revival here, and we had a young lady in the church. There were some things, of course, the family was giving her some hassles on, you know, coming to this church. And, of course, she was always very conscious of how she acted in church. And one night, the Spirit of the Lord got moving and going, and she took she just took off, and all of a sudden, she was gone.
That was Stephanie Smith.
Stephanie Smith.
Keneal now.
And so anyway, you know, she went there, and I thought, boy, I hope her mom and dad's not out there, or this would be the last time. But there is something I know, that if the Spirit of God had to do something in her life for her to make that move, amen, and run out the door, and who knows outside, maybe somebody talked down the sidewalk, or a police officer comes by, or something, I don't know. But she did come back in, so we knew she was all right, amen. But it's nice to just feel, and I don't doubt the Holy Ghost in that whatsoever, Amen. Some people would probably say, well, I don't know if that has to happen. It doesn't have to happen, but it can happen. Hallelujah. And she was blessed, and we appreciate what God has done in her life. Ezekiel chapter 47.
Ezekiel.
Did I say Isaiah?
Yeah.
Ezekiel. He's one of those same guys in the same crowd.
One of them.
47:1. And afterward he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued from out from underneath the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought me out of the way to the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looked eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And the man that had a line in his hand went forth eastward and measured 1,000 cubits, about 1,750 feet, almost 60 yards, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to my loins, above my waist. And afterward he measured 1,000 and the river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, and waters to swim in, and a river that could not be passed over. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Lord, bless your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Bless our hearing, God. Bless our thinking. Praise the Lord. If you're using your Bible or your cell phones, you might want to stay there just for a few moments. But I would like to say it's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord on Pentecost Sunday. Amen. We know the words. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire that set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. How many believe that this morning, that it still happens? Amen. Joe, that Peter would address later on, would tell us about a Holy Ghost that would fall and a rain that would happen, and there would be a former rain, and there would be a latter rain. And I believe that we're in the day of that real latter rain now, that we're seeing God do some things that are so great. I don't know about you, but I heard that we are like at 32,500 young people that have signed up for the Impact Meeting, or the National Youth Congress that's coming up in August. And they're expecting to be 35,000 or more. They're in the Lucas Center, which is a football venue and not a basketball venue, and so it's going to hold a lot of people, and I just can't wait to see what God can do. If you've ever been to a youth congress before, to me it's one of my favorite services. The energy that is there, unbelievable. When we only had 18,000 people there, it was awesome, and we're shooting toward almost double that good crowd. And so let's pray and just keep that in mind when August comes, that our young people would be blessed and make a great impact, not just upon Indianapolis, but upon the whole world. Pentecost is an important day. Amen. Come on, that's all right. Hallelujah. I find it somewhat odd that Paul would use this occasion at times to very direct his paths and things that he would do. In Acts 20:16, it says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem at Pentecost." You don't hear that about Easter. You don't hear that about Christmas. You don't hear it about any other holiday. Amen. People are just tuned into the wrong holiday. Hallelujah. Because now Pentecost had already happened a number of years in the past. And then later on he says that Paul was determined, in 1 Corinthians 16:8, it says, "And I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." One place gets out, I got to get out of the way, but got to get going, because I want to be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and now he's somewhere, and he said that God has set before me a great and effectual door. Amen. But before he said that, I want to stay right here, because really Pentecost, amen, is not to be celebrated in Jerusalem, but it's going to be poured out upon all flesh. Amen. To every nation this gospel was to be preached to. Matthew, amen, agrees upon that. And then Mark comes along and tells us to preach the gospel to every creature. It's important that this gospel message that we have reaches every person, every person. G.T. Haywood wrote years ago that everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Amen. And we need to have that same compulsion in our lives to where, Lord, we want people to know the God we serve. Amen. We're not ashamed of him. We're not ashamed of what he does in our lives. Amen. But it's a day to be celebrated, if any holiday is to be celebrated, even not on a day of the Pentecost. Amen. But we know it was in the mind of Paul, and he made reference to those occasions. Praise the Lord. I've read a little different scripture. Never in myself remember preaching on this. I've heard it preached enough. I guess I better stay away from it. Amen. And I'm going to get into it a little bit, and I hope that I don't, get messed up here. But anyway, when Ezekiel is speaking, of course, he was a man that had multitude of visions and directions that God had given to him. But there's a few things I'd like for us to consider, because there are many people today that really believe that this portion of Scripture, most of them in the Messianic Jewish field as far as the gospel goes and work, and I'm not saying that it's not in our ranks, but it is there. But they believe that Isaiah is given to us a great report, amen, and about the flowing of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit. And we know that it will be duplicated, and that there will be a river in the millennium period of the 1,000 years of peace. We also know that there will be a river in heaven. We know that there was a river even in the garden, but especially the ones in the, as far as the working of the Jews and the millennium period and coming of heaven, that those things will be established there. And so he shows us, and there are some important things I'd like to share with you. Notice it says in verse 1, after again he brought me to the door, and behold, the waters issued from under the threshold of the house eastward, and from the forefront of the out. Matter of fact, he goes into these directions. It comes off to the right side of the brazen altar, as we would know it, amen, but of the altar, it says. And then it goes out the door, amen, or the gates of that city, and it begins to touch the barren lands, amen, that reach all the way from Jerusalem's eastern door down into the Red Sea, the Dead Sea, and was going to be moving there in such a way. And so Ezekiel believes and knows that there is something that is flowing, something that is moving. And then he describes to us that the man had this line in his hand. And the first dimension was that he would step in this river, and that he would be up to his ankles. And then later on, he comes back and walks another number of yards, and then he is up to his knees. And then finally, he comes, amen, to where the water is waist high. And then, of course, we know that as this breaks into the Dead Sea, it becomes a great and mighty river, amen, and it is doing a great work. It's not just passing over the land, but in the process of the line of this stream, there are things that are being done. There are things that are happening. We notice that the threshold, the flow came from the temple, amen, and all the way to the Dead Sea. Testing the water probably comes to us sometimes. I've always speculated, as I've heard other men preach this, it just reminds me of times that you would be stepping into water, especially if you don't know exactly how deep it's going to be. Amen. You ever seen people just kind of test the water? All they need is ankle deep. Amen. That's probably a very shallow stage as far as what we think and to where we're going. And this message this morning, if I can get there. But yet he goes out a little bit further. He's commanded to walk, and now it's up to his knees, and things are a little bit different. And then it gets to the place to where it is up to his loins. Amen. A little more resistance that is coming as far as going. And then he comes to the Red Sea. Now, we might later on talk about some of these conditions in our lives, but I really believe that there's a spiritual condition that gives us those measurements in our personal lives. But also, when he comes to the Dead Sea, this river becomes impossible. And he says, and now there's waters to swim in. I know that it has been preached, and I don't think it's wrong, amen, that there is a depth that we need to reach in the Spirit of God that comes underneath. It is the flow, amen. It was not anything physical. It was something that was spiritual. Amen, that was coming out of the temple and marking the land. And God was showing Ezekiel that there's coming something that is going to be great. And then he gets to the waters to swim in. Amen. And then when you get to, how many has ever been afraid in the Holy Ghost? How many was the first time you started coming around church? And just it feels so different in here. I just don't know. And so he's with this man, and the man says, well, let's just go out a little deeper. And so he measures off, and now to the knees. Maybe even you bowed your knees at that time. I don't know, but there's something about this little procedure that he's going through. He just did not go out and dive in. Good possibility he didn't know how to swim. How many here don't know how to swim this morning? Seriously? Nothing wrong with that, folks. I was there when I was 6. I'm just teasing. There's a lot of people that I know that just for some reason they can't swim. I was in Atlanta back a few years ago with Roman, and I stopped at the motel, and the motel had a pool, and it was outside, of course, and so I was there. And I let Roman swim the pool, and I was sitting underneath the canopy or, you know, at a little table and just enjoying myself and watching Roman go. And I see this guy come walking out of nowhere. You know, nicely built man, you know. And he came and got in the hot tub. Now, the thing that really kind of got me questioning was he was wearing a Speedo. How many don't want a Speedo? Not a big Speedo either. Now they got Speedo that can cover your whole body. And I'm thinking, Lord, I got some fear here. You know, either he is of a different persuasion than I can. I don't want to get politically incorrect here. Or else he's an awful good swimmer. And so I was a little bit worried. I got Roman out in the water, and here this guy comes along, and I'm looking at him, and I know that we would not dress that way. And I'll be honest with you, I was not tempted. And so he dips himself down in the hot tub. Came over by me first. And then he jumped out of the hot tub, and he started swimming. I knew that because he was so graceful, he was so fast. I mean, it was just like, he would take about 3 strokes, and it was a good-sized pool, and he would be at the other end and turned around and came back as those good swimmers would be. To come to find out, his mother, it was from Germany, and she was in the 1948 Olympics and was a medal winner in the 1948 Olympics. So he knew how to swim. Probably was forced to swim. But there are some people that, you know, you can reach a stage to where deeper water, waters to swim in. Let me just kind of throw this in here. To be baptized, you know, means that we are overwhelmed by water. To be baptized in the Spirit means that we are overwhelmed. Amen. It's greater than us. It's something to us that God has moved us out of, you know, fear, amen, into a comfortability, amen, of what he wants to do in our lives and in our churches and our organization and every aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not just wanting to see God send revival to us. Amen. I heard an indicator earlier about somebody from the Assembly of God, and I read something this week about an Assembly of God pastor was somewhere getting baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This to a lot of people. What irks me is the fact to see some people that were wanting to get away from Acts 2:38. I told a good friend of mine not long ago, I said, it's not what you're saying that worries me. It's what you're not willing to say, amen, that worries me, because it's as if that they're kind of dancing around. Maybe ankle deep or, you know, knee deep or thigh deep. And then we see and hear of people that in this world, amen, pastors that are of renown in a denominational field that are seeing that Acts 2:38 is the plan of salvation. Amen. They might not feel the same on the Holy Ghost, but if they start getting close, amen, to the Word of God and becoming obedient to what the Word of God has to say, the power of God is going to rest upon them to where they're not just doctrinally correct, but the Spirit of God has its liberty and freedom to work within that church. This morning, as we are assembled together, God has an ability to touch every one of our lives in the same house, in the same place, just like on the day of Pentecost, together in one accord, and let our minds be upon this thing. Now, in verse 6, after he's gone through this process, ankle deep, knee deep, thigh deep, and now he's just standing on the bank wondering if he should go or not. It seemed impassable to him. And so he's just there. And notice that verse 6 says, he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And now I returned, and at the bank of the river there were very many trees, one side and on the other side. And these waters issued out east toward the country to go down into the desert and go into the sea that brought forth the sea, and the waters would be healed. In other words, this whole place that he turned around and he says, have you seen this? You know, it's not wrong sometimes to give yourself a glance back. And I'm not talking to your old life and wanting to live that way. But I think as apostolics, if you've been in this way very long, we ought to stop and let ourselves look back and just kind of see, amen, where the Lord has brought us from and where we could have been. And then we can see, amen, these things that God is doing, and then hopefully that we can look back and see trees and flowers, amen, and the barren taking life, amen. And God, that's what this stream was all about. It was about giving life. And it was a lively stream. It was a stream in itself that was at work. And when it comes to the very end, it touches the Dead Sea. And you know as well as I that the Dead Sea is just kind of filled with salt. And things don't grow there. And things don't survive there. Amen. But now there are fishes. Amen. And fishermen from one end of the stream to the next end of the stream. And their nets are hung up. Amen. And the fishing business is alive. But more than anything, amen, they became fishers and they were being rewarded for that. Because somebody, amen, and because of this stream that flowed through, changed their whole world. And this stream or the flow of the Holy Spirit of God can change our whole world. It can change our whole community. It can change our individual lives. It can do things in us that we thought would never be. I had a dream, amen, and that dream was fulfilled, and we saw it come to pass. Amen. God laid somebody upon my heart. Or we just decide to take a direction. This seems to have happened to me more in the last few years than ever before. That it just seems like I'm in the right place at the right time. And people have needs and they're asking questions. Amen. I had a young man the other day that was, his mom was a Catholic and his dad was a Muslim. And I'm thinking, oh boy. Amen. I hope he doesn't cut my head off. And his one brother went to the Catholic side, and he went to the other. And so I just kind of said, you know what? I said, whatever it is, it's the same mighty God. You know, whether if you want to call him that, and we say, well, they don't worship the same God. And I know that mostly because of what the Muslim religion has done with it. Amen. There's some people that don't call Jesus Jesus. They have in their foreign language a whole different translation. There's probably hundreds of them to where when they go to say Jesus, they don't say Jesus. And a Jew probably doesn't say Jesus. He probably says Yeshua. Amen. And I got a little sheet at home that tells us, you know, the Chinese. And how am I going to tell you what Chinese is? The name of Jesus. Maybe somebody can tell you. And so the name is, I guess what I'm saying is, if I can see a concept to where your God is holy, and your God is one, and your God's the absolute, the creator, amen. That God, whatever they call him, amen, was incarnated, amen, in the man Christ Jesus. If you can believe that. I'm not saying they believe that, but if they could, they would just have the wrong name, but a right concept. That's not enough. They need to hear somebody, amen, that kind of looks back once in a while and says, God, are you still blessing and are you still moving? Amen. Because we know one thing about this. We know that all these signs shall follow, amen, the man of God. Not precede us, amen, but they're going to cast out devils. As that word is given to us, what is that going on, Brother Davis? Amen. That is the fact that God wants His miracles to flow. He wants the baptism of His Spirit. We know that that seems to be impossible. I've seen people that have been in this church and myself when I was very young. It didn't take me long to get my job done. That was for sure. I repented on a Saturday night, got baptized on a Sunday night, and I got the Holy Ghost, amen, on a Monday night. Sister Connie got it all in one night, very fast. Amen. Sister Julie took her a while. Brother Tom took you a while. Amen. How many else got it pretty quick? Let's say a week and under. Okay, pretty quick. I know probably it was not the right term there, but I mean, it took them quite a while to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so there are things that sometimes come along. Where's this guy standing on the bank looking at the water, thinking, can I do it? And then he's looking back, the prophet or the man with the string says, amen, you know, have you seen this? Have you been watching this? And it was like he was oblivious to the blessings that God was giving. And sometimes we feel that way, amen, until we really turn around and take a good look. And what did he see there? He saw life. And he saw living water touching the dead and bringing it back, amen, in the realm of the leaves and the trees and the plants that are there and the fish that swim and stay in the Dead Sea that's been now made alive. And that's a miracle within itself, amen, because the Spirit of God changed that. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it says this: in the last day of that great feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, he that believeth upon me, as the Scripture has said. If you believe the Scripture, you're the candidate to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody said amen? Amen. He that believeth, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's something that God gives you that blesses you. But there's something that when God gives you the baptism of His Spirit, amen, this flow begins to happen and it impacts the lives of others. Too bad that, you know, we have the Sawyers here today because Sister Gordon, amen, when she was here in Isaac also, I used her for an example a lot. She had a little bit of stubbornness in her. Now, that's all been taken away, I know, by now. Amen, but probably not, because she's pretty stubborn for the gospel. Things I used to tell her, I don't believe that. I don't have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved. I want the Holy Ghost, and this is what I appreciate of her. I want the Holy Ghost because our world needs help. Amen, and I need the power of the Holy Ghost to be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world, and we're in those uttermost parts of the world now. Amen, and I appreciated that for the fact that she knows amen. And all that came from this living water that the Lord said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, amen, that was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so they're waiting. But what is the answer? Jesus says, you have need that I go away, because if I don't go away, the comforter cannot come. You're going to find the great blessing as the one coming after me, which is going to be me, because now I dwell with you and then I'm going to dwell in you. And so he tells them that I'm going to be here in your presence. Otherwise, he would have lied that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And he's with us today. He's with us within his Spirit. Amen. There's enough Holy Ghost in this place this morning. If somehow we could just kind of stir this, amen, and say, Lord, this is a great day. This is the greatest feast. This is the one that we want to see and feel and that we got to preach in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord, amen, some praise together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you need a healing, you ought to be getting warmed up to get one. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you ought to start thinking right now, God, this could be a service, amen, that is somehow I can get into the flow. And if this church would flow with me, amen, there will be the power and the ability, amen, to convert my life from just a body to the temple of the Holy Ghost. God likes to flow out of his temple. I'm not going to read all the verses. It's in Corinthians 1st and 2nd chapters, but I just will say this. Paul had to ask this church three times. Twice in 1st Corinthians, once in 2nd. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? When he says, I'm going to walk in them and dwell in them, how can he be there? Amen. Walking in us and dwelling in us and nothing happened around us. Amen. Maybe because that old song. Now, most of you won't probably remember this, and maybe none of you do, but I remember a song that says, there are souls in sin which we fail to win just because we lack desire. And the thing that we need most sorely need indeed is the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. To occupy this temple, to teach us, to direct us, to move us. Why? Because it's out of the temple that now the flow comes. Amen. It's going to be out of you and me if we open ourselves to it. You know, forget Trump and forget whoever. But if we moved into an era when, remember the vote came up and it was going to be, they need 60 votes. And they dropped it down to 51. Took the lead of the Democrats on that and did that. But anyway, when it came. And so that's a sign that, the reason why I think that was a smart move on this administration. You saw Roe Davis when they get voted out, or if they get voted out. They're going to regret that. No. Because I don't know if we'll ever see a 60% majority again. I don't think we will. Because everything is so, I mean, we are divided like crazy. I'm glad I'm not really just hoping the world is the only hope that I have. Because as far as I can see, the world has no eternal hope. Everybody said amen? I already quoted Mark 16, got ahead of myself there, but it's fine. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Now, I cannot preach all there is to preach about the Holy Ghost today. Everybody said, praise God. But I like this because it kind of, with what I've said, let's just think here of what's happening. The Holy Ghost was given to this church so that action can take place. Miracles could be done. Sins could be washed away. People could be empowered to where they still love somebody though they differ with them. Amen. They're still concerned about getting along. Amen. And walking the same paths. Now the Bible says that by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Still in one accord. Still pretty much in one place. And the rest of no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men, amen, and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, amen, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. And some of them, amen, there came a multitude out of the cities around about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, amen, that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Every one. Oh, we want to limit God. Says, Lord, if it's possible, maybe touch one or two. Amen. But these men and the Holy Ghost were in agreement that we can heal everyone here. If everyone is obedient, if everyone is on the same page, if everybody can listen to God and just let God have his way. I mean, you're talking about looking back and seeing what Mark talked about and what the prophet looked back and saw. Amen. We can look back and see how God has mightily used these men in our church. We have the same birthday. amen, as our apostles did. It was still on that day of Pentecost. People all over town probably got their robes on and their little vestures that would kind of tell them what day it is. And it's Pentecost Sunday to them. But I guarantee you, they won't be hearing what you're hearing this morning. Amen. Because you know what you know. And you know what God can do. There just has to be something that when we look back today and say, Lord, I can see where you blessed me. I can see where you did a miracle. I can see where you brought me through. I can see all the victories and all the positive things. And forget about the negative. He just had one negative thing. I tell you what, if you're negative before God, you're going to have to get healed of that first. If you think that it's not for you, you need to say, Lord, well, this didn't go over good. Matter of fact, they got locked up in prison. Amen. In verse 19, after they got locked up in prison, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought forth and says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. This gospel brings life. The difference between our worship and other worship is because this worship should bring life. Amen. If it doesn't, we ought to get to God. We got to get in tune. We want to know what you want for us because it's very important that as a church, amen, that we're in tune. Because when they put you in temple, the angel comes and says, I want you to get back there in that temple and preach what you were preaching and do what you were doing. And picks them up out of there and takes them back. And now we have a political meeting going on, trying to figure out what to do with these guys. And they send somebody to the prison and find out they're all gone. And when they come back with that report that they're all gone, somebody comes and says, hey, those guys you're looking for are right back in the temple. Tell them exactly what you're doing. There's a lot of people that try to tell us what we ought not to do that are totally wrong. Some of them might be right. Amen. Just depends on what they talk about. But notice it says in Acts chapter 5, dropping down. Verse 25 would say that's where they found him in the temple. And then in verse 28, saying, this is the council, the high priest in verse 27, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in the name or in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. I want to tell you something. There must have been a change in looks going on even around Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit was outpoured. Amen. With the thousands of people being there in the place, amen, to receive. By this time, amen, the 3,000 had been added and the 5,000 were being added. And God was doing great things and changing things. Church, one thing that we're going to have to do, we're going to have to say, God has got to change things. I don't think he needs to change saints here. I don't believe that he has to change a pastor here. I don't believe he needs to change the pastor wife, our brother Tom, our brother Greg, or whoever it might be. We need to understand, God, we want you to use, amen, who is a part of this ecclesia of called out ones, that your anointing might be upon us. And if nothing else, let us stop once in a while and look back and see that we have been a blessing, that we have moved to the positive side, that the Holy Spirit has evidenced itself in our lives. Amen. If it's been over a day ago, you ought to worry a little bit. If it's been over a week ago, amen, you ought to start to really worry. Because folks, I want to tell you, God was not made and did not make himself to lay dormant in your temple. Come on. That was not his anointing to be there just kind of giving you peace, getting forgiven and not feeling forgiveness. I'm so glad I felt forgiveness. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world until I got baptized in Jesus' name. And then that was even better. But folks, I'm going to tell you, when this spirit kind of moves and flows from somebody or some church into our lives, it miraculously changed just about every one of us. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Here's a key, a part of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost working in our lives. Verse 32, Acts 5, still in the same place, still things happening. Improvement was going on. And he goes on and talks about how that the God of our fathers, verse 30, raised up Jesus whom you slew, hung on the tree. In him God has exalted the right hand as a prince and a savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Ghost, whom God giveth to them that obey him. If the Spirit of God says jump, jump. If the Spirit of God says lift your hands and let it flow, let it flow. That are in the sea and the fish that are in the sea, and we see nets hanging up all the way, amen, from the Dead Sea back to the stream, amen, to the gate of this temple. Why? Because God had changed so many things, and it's a shame that some people, after God has done that, you know, one of the things that the Lord have been so that a lot of people in your life before you believe. But as soon as you can believe, some people have never seen a miracle but believe it anyway. And the Holy Ghost is given to all of them that obey him. I remember learning how to swim. I am an avid swimmer for about 20 yards. My dad taught me how to swim. Actually, I can swim further than that, I think. And we were out at a place, a little swimming hole, and he and I were just out there kind of by ourselves, and he was sitting on a plank that was put in a couple of pillars. So my dad got me out to that, and I was already scared to death. I knew I was in the pool. So my dad would stand out and say, okay, jump off and come to me. So I'd jump off, take a couple strokes. I was there with Dad. And then, you know, all of a sudden, after about four or five times of doing that, maybe 20 times, I don't know exactly, but I dove off and came up out of the water. And guess who wasn't there? My dad, my mean old dad, left me there. Amen. Because when I dove, he went underwater and got back on the other side of that bench. And when I came up and looked around, I could not see him anywhere. And I panicked. And I thought, oh, you know, he's left me here to die. But I started fighting frantically. And I started just kind of, I've seen it done. I did it enough. But I was just so afraid to really let go. Amen. Mine must have been, because as soon as I saw I was going to die, amen, I made my way back to that plank. And I was mad at my dad. Amen. I said, what were you doing, Dad? I mean, you scared me to death. And Dad probably was thinking, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I'm going to tell you something. If God has to scare you, amen, into wanting the Holy Ghost, you ought to let him, because I want to tell you, that's part of my life is, amen, even God scared me and filled me yet with the Holy Ghost. We just need to trust God that when he leads us to waters that seem to be uncrossable, amen, that there are waters to swim in, amen, and all can swim. It's a depiction of the Holy Ghost, how that under his influence we can do things that we could not do and say things that we could not say and feel things that we could not say. I want to tell you something. Every backslider, amen, ought to come in line with God by watching these things. There is a spirit also that is flowing in the positive realm that we are seeing churches converted. Amen. A revival going on in the UN. Amen. People that things are talking about things that we would have never dreamed that a oneness Pentecostal, amen, would have to go through. Hallelujah. That's it. Come on. Kind of turn that inward a little bit. God, I'm here for a blessing. I need to overcome my weakness. I need to have a better self-image that the Spirit of God gave to me. I'm made in the image of God. I want to be like God. I want to act like God. I know I might fall short, but I'm not going to give up. And keep trying until the time that would happen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's try just to move out of our comfort zone. Lord, I believe and I know that you're God. I believe and I know because we feel your presence. And what I feel is the presence of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we all need different directions. We need you to open our minds. Amen. Your spirit, God, our soul. Hallelujah. Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift our hands and worship him. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe it's the truth. You want to do great things in my life. I believe that you want to do great things in these people that are around me. Help me to be a positive influence to every one of them. I believe you're going to use our good pastor. Hallelujah, Lord, no matter what we, amen, have dealt with. And I know that, God, there's just been a few things. Hallelujah, but Lord, he deserves the very best. Amen. He deserves our prayer, our undergirding. Amen. He's the salvation of our children. We bring that message to them. Amen. And to this world. Hallelujah, Lord. But this morning, I want you to touch me. Those of you that need the Holy Ghost, you need to just kind of lift your hands and say, Lord, amen. I'm not going to force anything. I'm just going to let you flow into my life. And if you give me those words, amen, to utter or speak, I'm going to speak them. Or if you just overtake me and baptize me in such a way to where I can't hold it back. God, I need you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. Let's give him some worship and praise. Hallelujah. Lord, I want you to touch this man next to me. I want you to touch this lady, Lord, my good friend next to me. I want you to touch those that aren't here this morning. God, that they might be blessed and that the church might be one in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy
If you need the healing or the Holy Ghost, why don't you come to this altar and let God have his way? Hallelujah. If you need to come back to God, if you need to be encouraged to God, I want you to come here. Hallelujah. See how God has blessed you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you want something from God, I'd like for you to come and stand before this altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Oh, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down.
It's my strength.
Lord,
it's my faith. It's all that
down.
I need. Hallelujah. I need
down.
Your presence in my life.
Send it on
Hallelujah.
Down.
Hallelujah.
Lord, the Holy Ghost
Hallelujah.
Come on down.
Hallelujah.
Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down.
Lord, I want to be able to look back behind me and see that something good is following me. Lord, that I am traveling the road I need to travel, doing the things that I want to do, we need to do, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, hear our call. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Send down the power, let it fall like rain. As we lift our praises to your name, send it on down, send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down.
Somehow, you've got to realize that the Spirit wants to work through you.
Lord,
amen. The Spirit
the
wants to cause good things to happen through you.
Send
not just the pastor,
down.
Not just the
send
music, not
down.
Just somebody else that sits on a
Lord,
pew, but God wants to use you. This world
down.
Needs all of us to
send
come together.
Down.
Be in one mind
send
and one accord.
On Lord, Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Heavenly Father, hear our call. Your Holy Spirit flow. Send down the power, let it fall like rain. As we lift our praises to your name. Send it on down, send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down, send it on down. Ghost, come on down.
Hallelujah. Let's lift our praise to Him. Hallelujah, Lord. I know You love us. I know You love everyone that's in this place. Let us receive that love, Lord, right now. Hallelujah, but God, let us come to a place to where we're going to be obedient. Hallelujah, that we're going to be obedient to this cause, obedient to the word that You've gave to us. We're going to love one another. Amen. God, if we're not willing to forgive, I pray that You put us under such strong conviction. Amen, Lord, that we would have to come to the knowledge that we cannot live that way and there be a flow happening within our lives. I pray that we can be faithful to Your word, amen, and Your ecclesia, our church, amen, that is not just here but worldwide, because God, something has to be done.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And if we're not for this cause and for this movement and for this doctrine and this message, hallelujah, Lord, we don't have a right. Hallelujah. Let us be right with You in Jesus' name. Forgive us, God, of our trespasses. Amen. As we forgive those that trespass against us. Amen. We're going to be forgiven and we're going to be forgivers. Hallelujah. We're not going to hold grudges, because the Bible says the judge is at the door. He hears what's going on. He knows where you are. Amen. And He needs to do something. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
It's for me. It's for you. It's for your children. And their children do with us something that nothing else can do.
In Acts, the second chapter, you can read it for yourself. You don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost that Jesus is giving away.
Well, it's for me.
It's for me.
It's for you.
It's for you.
It's for your children. And their children too. It does something that nothing else can do. In Acts, the second chapter, you can read it for yourself. Don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost. Jesus is giving away. Yes, it's for me.
It's for me.
It's for you.
It's for you.
For your children and their children too. It does something that nothing else can do. In Acts, the second chapter, read it for yourself. You don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost. Jesus is giving away.
Hallelujah. Let one generation tell the other, let the Lord be magnified in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you got a shout in you, if you got a hand clap of praise, just give it right now on Pentecost Sunday. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing and you're going to do and what You're pouring out in this place in Jesus' name in these last days. In Jesus' name, Lord, may we all be vessels, Lord, that You flow through us, Lord, as we walk out of this place here today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are not going to have evening service, so let you go home and enjoy your time at home with your families on Pentecost Sunday. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.